astrology, it's a language, so it doesn't remain loyal to the origin and changes as you practice it. When you practice it, like, yeah, you are taking it apart, but you're also putting something new together, too.
You're listening to the Feed Your Wild podcast, a conscious lifestyle show about all things nourishing for your body, mind, and soul. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join me for candid conversations with changemakers, exploring health and wellness, food as medicine, intuition and spirituality, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and feed all parts of your wild self. Hello there, and welcome back to Feed Your Wild podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Rodriguez, intuitive nourishment guide, Akashic record reader, and functional nutritionist. And today we have a really interesting episode with Brooklyn-based astrologer Alice Sparkly Cat, aka Ace, and we'll be diving into a different way of looking at astrology and how it impacts our experience here in this lifetime on Earth. Before we dive into the contents of today's interview, I did want to share a couple of announcements. First, I know that I've mentioned before that the pace of the podcast in terms of output and publication of podcast episodes is changing. And so I'm really going in with this organic flow of what I'm being guided to do. It's a lot slower pace than what it used to. And so there won't be episodes coming out every single week as it has been in the past. Want to give you a heads up if you're a new listener on that. We will be introducing some different formatting and some exciting stuff with conversations that I'm really excited about having on the podcast. I'm also getting a lot of feedback from those of you who are listeners, have been listeners for quite some time, and which episodes have really been the most helpful and what type of information you want to hear more of on the podcast. So just to give you a little bit more of a sneak peek on that, there have been quite a few of you who are practitioners, healers, caretakers, people who are in service to the collective and really here to help others in their healing path, as well as, of course, your own. So based off of what I'm hearing as feedback from many of you, I'm definitely going to bring in more insights, tools, experts that can provide more information and inspiration for those who identify as healers and practitioners and caretakers and helpers and those who are here really dedicating a lot of their energy and time to support others. If this is you, if I'm describing you, I would love to hear from you and your feedback. You can always reach out to me via email, hello@wildlyrooted.com. You can go to my website and check out the contact page, wildlyrooted.com as well. Those are emails, probably the best way. You can always find me on Instagram too. I'm slower at responding to DMs and comments because I'm just not on there as much, but you can definitely find me there and send me a message. My handle is @wildlyrooted, and I'd love to hear from you. What are some things that you want to hear on the podcast that pertain to this area of focus? What do you need support around? And if there has been any resource or teacher that has been really helpful for you in your journey, I'd love to hear about it as well. And maybe we can even have some of your mentors and teachers on the podcast. My second announcement is that I'm opening up doors to a renewed 90-day private mentorship program. Now, this particular 90-day program is the Akashic Intuitive Healing Mentorship, and this one is meant for healers, practitioners, and helpers. This will be a 90-day accelerated mentorship program to assist you in developing your intuitive healing practice. We'll be incorporating Akashic training, how to read your own Akashic records as well as others, working with the Akashic records when it comes to supporting others in a healing or practitioner capacity. Intuitive skills and foundational practices. We'll look at divination tools beyond the Akashic records, helpful tools that you can bring in and work with the Akashic records, such as pendulum and tarot. We'll look at the fundamentals of developing an intuitive healing practice, such as energy hygiene, so important, creating sacred space, how to really work with your spirit guides and your team, the importance of the art of inquiry and questioning. And I can share a lot of my personal framework around how I work with clients in an intuitive and clinical capacity. So really bridging those two worlds and work in a more holistic way that truly incorporates spirit and energy. This is a customized mentorship. So you will bring what you most need and want and desire to learn, and we'll customize this intuitive healing mentorship to you and where you are at in your journey. So if you are a total newbie, but you're just beginning to practice working with people, with clients or patients, or you've been doing this for a long time, let's say you're a seasoned nurse or a therapist or a coach or a doctor, and you want to begin to incorporate the intuitive elements in the Akashic records and a more spiritual approach to your work, then I'd highly recommend you check this out. I love working with practitioners, in particular my nurses and therapists and doctors, and I know that there is so much in the conventional realms of healthcare that is misaligned, and the all-important spiritual and energetic components are missing, a huge missing piece to healing. And I know those of you who are hearing this and are resonating understand this deeply. You're entrenched in this work, and you want to begin to really bridge the spiritual with the scientific, the mystical with the practical, and ultimately to support others in awakening their inner healer, because all healing is self-healing. And so as a healer or helper or practitioner, we are really here to be guides and support to assist others in awakening that ability within themselves. If this sounds like a program for you, then I encourage you to apply. There is an application process. Since I can only work with a handful of folks, the mentorships, they're individual, so they will be one-on-one in private, but we're going to begin in August, if possible, September latest. So make sure that you apply before then. I'll have more information on deadlines and links and more on this mentorship in the show notes. But you can go to wildlyrooted.com/intuitive healing mentorship. And there you will find more information and the application form. I so look forward to meeting you if you feel that this is resonating for you. We can also chat more once you do apply to see if this is really a good fit for you. I truly believe that it needs to really resonate and work for you. So there are no pushy sales calls or anything like that. It literally is a chat to explore whether or not this is a good fit for both of us. So again, you can go to wildlyrooted.com/intuitive healing mentorship to learn more. All right, let's get into today's episode, shall we? Again, we are speaking with Brooklyn astrologer Alice Sparkly Cat, aka Ace. I was first introduced to Alice Sparkly Cat through their publisher of their new book, North Atlantic Books, which I'm a huge fan of. I was introduced to their book, Post-Colonial Astrology, Reading the Planets Through Capital, Power, and Labor. This topic intrigued me because I, as in my personal life and also my professional work, utilize astrology to support my own understanding of myself, my experience here on Earth, but also to help me understand what might be going on for others. And I've always had these questions about astrology, not being an astrologer myself, but still feeling like there were certain elements with astrology that I questioned. I mean, astrology is so complex, and there are many different lenses of astrology. So when I received this book on a post-colonial astrological lens, it really brought to light some of these questions around influences and connections in a more explicit way. Ace's book is more of an advanced course in astrological, politicized astrological history and application, and a queer POC and intersectional lens and resource. So it's definitely not a astrology basics 101 or learn your sun sign type of introductory guide. Rather, it really looks at decoding the planets from a magic forward post-colonial perspective. So in this way, we can see astrology is an intersectional, political, and magical language with a cross-cultural history that really informs our relationships to the planets and to ourselves. I was fascinated by this because any system that we might utilize and bring into practice has its origins somewhere. And I think that it's really important, especially as practitioners, but even just anybody working with these systems such as astrology or human design, I think it's always a good idea to take a look under the hood and take a look at the origins of the system that you are working with. I think even just out of sheer respect for the system and working with it, not that it can't be utilized or helpful without understanding the origins, but there's something to understanding the origins that help us to understand some of the influences and biases within that system. And that's important because that inherently impacts how we experience, how we interpret and receive information from this system, and how that influences our real lives and our relationship to ourself. So in this interview, we go over this concept of astrology as language and how the reshaping of astrology as a language can reshape our experience and relationship to the cosmos and their influence upon our lives. We cover how to reframe your relationship with astrology and switching from a fatalistic or victim lens to a more empowering stance and relationship. We talk about why it might be easier for people to accept unseen forces at work, such as cell phones or internet communication, but have a really challenging time, quote, believing in something like astrology. Ace shares how they reconcile a post-colonial astrological framework with the more casual, pop, and less obviously political approach to astrology that's popular within the mainstream. We also get into some personal reflections, like my personal Gemini North Node experience and Ace's spot on reflections on that. And Ace has some pretty good advice for budding astrologers or astrology enthusiasts that I think is really relevant in these emergent times. We're really living in a time when we're moving beyond some old concepts, stories, confinements that have been very harmful. And I found Alice Sparkly Cat to have a unique perspective when it comes to astrology within this shift. You can learn more about Ace at alicesparklycat, and that's cat with a K, .com. They have some really interesting blog posts and perspectives that I found really helpful and grounded. This conversation, if you're not familiar with astrology or interested in astrology, may not be for you, or some elements may go over your head. And I just want to acknowledge that, but also to take the main themes of this and apply it to other systems that you are plugged into or utilize in your own life beyond astrology. All right, so that's enough of me talking. Let's get into this chat with Alice Sparkly Cat. Hey everyone, welcome back to Feed Your Wild. I'm your host, Vanessa, and today I am so excited to have Alice Sparkly Cat on. Alice Sparkly Cat is an astrologer. They use astrology to rechart a history of the subconscious, redefine the body in world, and reimagine history as collective memory. Their astrological work has inhabited MoMA, Philadelphia Museum of Art, and the Brooklyn Museum. They're the author of Postcolonial Astrology, Reading the Planets Through Capital, Power, and Labor. It is out now and available for purchase, and it is dense in the most and best way possible. So I highly recommend you check it out, but we're definitely going to touch in on this. Ace, I'm so excited to have you on. Thanks for saying yes.
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's good to meet you, Vanessa. Excited to talk.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive in. Now, as I began to read your book, and I did get a little bit of insight from your publishers on what it was all about, and I was super fascinated. I love how deep you go with this book and really like digging through a lot of the research and asking so many questions that really showed me just the level of curiosity that you have. And I really appreciate it. And I'd love to actually start with your story and how you actually came to this place as, number one, getting into astrology, but then also, number two, beginning to really look at astrology through your unique lens and starting to ask these really deep questions. So how did that begin for you?
Yeah, I got into astrology around like 2015-ish, I think it was. And so like I started the writing process of this book in 2018. I think it was 2019, something like that. So, you know, during all that time, I was doing astrology workshops with community, doing client work. And I feel like a lot of questions around just what astrology is always up, and especially around Western astrology. So, like, you know, Western astrology, like, is it really Western? How does it work? Yeah, is it a climate-based astrology? Does it normalize certain climates over others? How does climate change affect astrology? Like things like that. So like when North Atlantic Books reached out to me, they were like, hey, do you want to write something? And I was like, yeah, like, you know, this is what I've been obsessed with for years. And then the writing process like kind of took off from there.
Yeah, I love how it's sort of like, again, your curiosity guiding what really wants to come through. And I feel some really important, significant questions that you just touched on, in addition to many that you touch on in the book, are questions that I feel a lot of people have maybe been asking over the years, but have really seemed to culminate and are rising in more of like this collective field, at least in the so-called channels that I follow through like media and social media and circles and communities. Just these discussions of really asking the questions about the whys and the hows and like who created this system and like the narrative around certain things. So I'm interested in looking at how you began to really talk about, well, engage with astrology and talk about it through what sounds like more of a magical lens and what that means. So for people who may not fully understand like astrology as this intersectional, political, and magical language. Yeah. So how did that happen? Because, you know, there's a lot of astrologers out there, but they're not all looking at it through this type of framework and lens.
Yeah. I think that astrology is like, I mean, it's just a way for people to talk to other people because it's a language. That's what it is. It's not a religion. It's not like, yeah, it's a language. It's pretty pragmatic in that way. And then I was doing an event with Don't Tell the Village Elders yesterday. And there was something that someone said during that workshop where someone was talking about language and like kind of the frustrations and joys of organizing people. Where I had this moment where I was like, whoa, like language is an organizing tool. Like that's what it is. And the way that I practice astrology and personally, which could be different, you know, everyone has their own relationship to it. It is something that I do client work with. And so I'm talking to people through those sessions. But I'm also playing with astrology in a different way, just with friends, with my partner, with community. And like, it's another use of kind of a similar language too. And yeah, I think that magic, it doesn't have to be something that's like very elevated or organized even. Like, I think it's just something that's like pretty mundane. It's something that you do for your life.
There's a quote that you have in your book that really struck me. And I think that it asks or begs us to ask this really important question. I just wanted to read it and talk about it a little bit. And the quote is, "The truth is, the thing that is astrology is not what offers healing to astrology fans. The history of astrology developed out of white supremacy and capitalism and patriarchy. The ways that we see Venus and Mars and gender, the ways that Jupiter and Sun and rulership have been defined, have served power rather than working against it. Astrology, as we have inherited it, does not offer us authentic identity. Astrology offers us Roman identity, Roman belonging, and Roman humanity. This is why we must continually work to destroy astrology as we practice it, because we look for identity from it." And I'm wondering if you can speak more into that last line of continually working to destroy astrology and what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think that part of the experience of being a person of color is that you're constantly engaging in a language that is always eroding at the moment of you practicing it. So then what you experience is like you're keeping a language alive also by using it. And then you're also seeing it change when you use it, when you enter it. So, hey, like astrology, it's a language, so it doesn't remain loyal to the origin. It changes as you practice it. When you practice it, like, yeah, you are taking it apart, but you're also putting something new together, too, in terms of how you talk about archetypes, what you use them to talk about for, in terms of how you might talk about gender with Venus and Mars, how you might talk about, you know, like all kinds of things. You know?
Yeah, I really appreciate that perspective of astrology as a language and then looking at language. I remember talking to, gosh, it was so long ago, I had this other guest and I'm blanking on her name, oh my goodness, but she has a book called Word Up and her name's going to come to me in a moment. But yeah, her book is called Word Up and we were talking about the power of words and language. And there was this moment where I remembered reading from this one teacher, Martin Prechtel. He had worked with some Mayan cultures and communities. And their frame of reference and usage of language, which was vastly different than a lot of the rest of the world. And so that their use of language was more of one of belonging. So whereas our language is more one of exclusion and separation and individualization, which has been something that I've been thinking a lot about. And I'm wondering, in that same way, are there different ways that you have found to utilize this language of astrology that can help shape and reshape the way that we relate to the planets, or, you know, some of these like old stories that we used to hold as true because that's what we've learned, or maybe because of dogma within the astrological perspective? I'm not sure if that question is clear. I guess I'm just looking at like how we can, since language can be a little bit more of this fluid thing, can it shape the way that we relate to the cosmos in a different way?
Yeah, I think it was like, I was talking to Micah Woods and Janelle Belgrave, and we were talking about role playing. And then I remember Micah Woods said something about like, whoa, like I feel like a lot of people have like a kinky relationship with astrology. We're like, it's like, hey, we have all these meanings that are created through conflict, actually. Like, that's the beauty of astrology. It's like, it's really associative. So a lot of the meanings and archetypes, they're not created through consensus all the time. Sometimes they are, but then they're created through conflict too. So then you'll have planets that mean opposing things. They'll mean two things that are opposite. And then, yeah, I remember Mecca said, like, I think people have this really kinky relationship with astrology where we're play acting certain things that impact us. And we're kind of like, we're sorting out our emotions about it. We're engaging catharsis about these meanings. And I think that's really cool because when you role play something, when you do it without like replicating it, but kind of by performing it, like you change it too. You change your relationship to it all the time. You change other people's relationships to it.
And that actually makes me think about how just in life, we're constantly role-playing and how we can change our relationship to literally everything, how we relate to everything based off of the role that we are choosing to play. And sometimes I feel that, you know, when we think about, when many people think about astrology, there's sometimes this kind of fatalistic question as like, for example, well, if I can choose to role play, then how does astrology influence? Like if I have a specific natal chart that says certain things about me, is that also role playing in a way? Like did I choose, perhaps like assuming that we come into this world choosing like our natal chart, right? Am I choosing to role play out my chart and these influences?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no memories from before my birth, barely any after. But I think that like when you're engaging with a transit or something like that, it's like it's so much more helpful to think, what do I want to get out of this transit? Instead of kind of like, what's this transit going to do to me that's outside of my control? It's good to kind of like notice what's within your control, notice what's outside of it too, but also to notice like, you know, what do you want to get out of time too?
Yeah, I really appreciate that because I think, for example, we are interviewing in the middle of Mercury retrograde and having technological issues like with the audio and in talking about language. And it's just kind of interesting to engage in this and also like, what are the interesting conversations that can come through like this event and this moment and those influences even? And that's just like a really tiny, seemingly insignificant like piece of what you're talking about. Because one of the things that I hear often from people, and this is because I think astrology is now really becoming popular, especially among millennials and younger generations. And so there's a lot of like casual and pop astrology out there. So things such as Saturn return is a big topic and theme. And there's a lot of memes around that on social media. And I see how people can see and utilize those events as sort of like, I don't know, even sometimes excuses for the way that certain things are going. I'm just curious what your stance on that is too. And also reconciling a post-colonial astrological framework with that more casual pop astrology.
I love pop astrology. And the reason is because I think a lot of popular astrology, I know that it's like sometimes dismissed or minimized, but I think a lot of people who are not men practice popular astrology. So it's a conversation. So that's why it's like in like magazines, which are co-opted from like kind of feminist zine culture. And it's changed a lot since it started, but I have no memories of this. Like, I'm not old enough to have memories of like how it happened, but that's how I've heard it happen. And so I really love pop astrology. And then I think that as parts of feminism and also astrology got corporized, like, it changed it too. But I also love that we're doing this under a Mercury retrograde, because I think sometimes with a lot of video chats or phone calls, like, it kind of simulates like a face-to-face experience. But I like that we have to like kind of engage as if we're really far away. I think we're pretty far away too.
Yeah, where are you in the world? I'm curious if you're up for sharing.
I'm in New York.
Oh, sweet. Yep. I'm in across the U.S. I'm in Southern Oregon area.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Like, we feel the 3-hour difference, or the 3-hour time zone difference.
Yeah. And I'm always fascinated too, just in general, around technology and the transference of these vibrations and these frequencies through the mic, through phone, through computer and ethers and all of that, and how we can come here today. And, you know, in this podcast, we focus a lot on the unseen. So that's like a, I guess, well accepted unseen, is that people are okay really just believing completely in the usage of cell phones and like being able to speak across the United States without seeing how it actually works. And I see that there's a lot of folks that have struggle with applying that same kind of acceptance or logic when it comes to something like astrology. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. Like, why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think that something I noticed, and this is like, I have no idea why, but I think it has to do with astrology seeming like very neoclassical, at least Western astrology, because it somehow like feels like it tends to show up more when white people feel like they're under attack. But then like a lot of the practicing astrologers will also be persecuted. So I'm not really sure. I feel like there is this like popularization, but then there's dismissal too, which a lot of times, like, of course, that's just misogyny sometimes, with like, oh, hey, like, you know, these are just like astrology girls somehow.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you touched on a little bit here too, the use of Western astrology, I'm curious why you feel we might be using Western astrology if it is developed in complicity with colonialism and some of these ways of relating that aren't really supportive of what's actually true, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm Asian American, like of an identity that's produced by the West. It's a common language where people can find a common language by like talking about our relationships with the West. Because like astrology, it's so specific. It's like no astrology is universal. Astrology is literally about how you relate to your weather conditions, the land, the sky, like things like that. And so, like, yeah, there's no universal astrology. Yeah, I want to use Western astrology because I do want to talk about the West with clients, with friends, about how it has a real impact on our lives. Yeah, to just start conversations so then we can produce new knowledge as a result of those conversations.
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of come back to your book and the origins of it. And what really prompted you to like write the specific book that you did? And I know you said that you were kind of like obsessed with these topics, but I'm curious what really prompted you to do so, and what you hope that this book does for astrologers reading this book who maybe have a complicated relationship with that Western cosmology.
Yeah, I wanted to make something that was like just useful for people who practice astrology. I mean, there's no technical information in the book. Like, anyone who kind of has an adjacent practice or just kind of likes to use language in some way, hopefully can find a use for it. I was specifically focusing on the seven traditional planets within Western astrology because I wanted to make some things useful for everyone who's using astrology, but then kind of going, hey, like, I don't have a connection to Zeus. Like, I don't have a connection to, like, Kronos or anything like that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, too, because I think the more that I'm learning, I consider myself more of, like, a beginner when it comes to astrology, even though I've really found it super useful in understanding my experience, especially looking back. And I think it's always like 2020 looking back, right? And then being able to apply like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of those interconnections and astrological influences, which I actually want to bring up in a little bit with you. But I also feel like when I dove a little bit more into like the mythology behind the various planets and the stories and the influences and the way that they're talked about and gendered, that I didn't connect with it. And it was hard for me to fully take in and understand like what do those influences mean. And I think you do an amazing job at really asking those questions too. Like, for example, Venus and beauty. Like, you know, whose standards of beauty are we talking about? Or Mars and that like masculine and conflict, but like what side of the conflict are we thinking of? So what are the ways that are helpful for you to relate to these planets and these influences?
For me personally, I think it's just like kind of integrating them into regular playtime for me. And a lot of the planets, it's true, like, because a lot of the archetypes, they're created or they're remembered by men with a lot of social and political power. So, like, I know that Venus is sometimes seen as gendered in a way that's different from all the other planets. A lot of how those images have been created, like, it is by men. It's funny because, like, I feel like it's kind of how people interact, like, a femme identity. It's almost like people are taking these images and then throwing it back. Like recycling them and throwing them back in some way. So I feel like everyone can have a different relationship to how they play with and just like remix images in their own practice. I like to do it through play, like kind of role playing, but that's just specific to me.
What does that look like? Oh yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think people do it through fashion, like making memes. I feel like a lot of people, the reason why astrology memes are so popular is because they do try to laugh at certain archetypes, and yeah, they really just kind of hit you because of that. So humor, you know, using astrology to flirt with each other and just having fun with it. There's a huge difference, I think, between a language that's created and distributed by an institution and then a language that's created through play.
I love that. I find that really refreshing, Ace, because some of these discussions and like a lot of what you have in the book and what has happened in the real world is very heavy and hurtful and painful. And I just love how you're really sort of calling us into, well, at least sharing your relationship with it and how a playful relationship can be one of the most supportive, especially when there's a lot of like historical pain attached to it.
Yeah, I think so. Because like in order to play, like your standards have to be really high. You literally can't relax and play unless you feel like that you can create a space of safety, that you feel like you're protected. I feel like play, it seems so trivial, but it's actually so important.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about and transition a little bit onto is this topic of voice. And, you know, first we're talking about language and now we're talking about voice. And the whole last month and this month on the podcast, voice has been kind of a theme because mostly I'm really interested in this topic all these different ways, but also I had a program to support people in looking at the voice center, the throat center, and bringing nourishment to that place. And by the way, for everyone listening, I highly recommend you check out Ace's website and your articles on your blogs. They're so great. And weaving in a lot of connections, for me at least, I have a lot of ahas. And one of them was on Gemini North Node. You're doing, or you did, a node series. A series on the nodes. So Gemini North Node, Sagittarius South Node, which that is my chart, my nodes. And I would consider myself...
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah, I would consider myself an older millennial. I was born in 1983. So it was just before that, kind of 1984 to 2002. And as I was reading your discussion on Gemini North Node, Sagittarius South Node, I was like, oh my God, you are literally describing my experience over the past like 15 years. And specifically on voice, you had mentioned that a lot of older millennial folks with Sagittarius South Node and Gemini North Node are also into podcasts and then have started podcasts. So here's another one. I'm another one for the books.
I was going to say, like, yeah, I met so many people with that nodal axis, like with podcasts. I was like, oh, whoa.
It's wild. Yeah. And you say you're not sure why that is, but I think it's really fascinating. You also mentioned there is something about this particular nodal axis that feels very unheard. And that really has been my experience, maybe not so much anymore, but literally most of my life up until probably my late 20s or early 30s. And that I've always had this craving to start conversations, which is the whole reason why I have this podcast and the whole reason why I created that program. It's called Feed Your Wild Voice, because I had so much struggle and challenges around voice, around feeling unheard, and also just wanting to be able to start conversations and say things, but almost not being able to, and feeling frustration and feeling fear and all of that. Yeah, but I just wanted to kind of share that with you, because that was a reflection that I was like, oh my God, you're so on point with the nodal axes. And I'm wondering if there's anything else that's coming up for you about that, either on this particular nodal axis or on any that, like, you've maybe the most recent one that you've been writing on.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing that. That's amazing to hear. Yeah, I have been writing a little bit about just the lunar nodes. And then something I found, like, kind of through practicing with clients, just noticing different things, is that, like, whoa, like, Western astrology, it works really well for describing pain, because like so much of pain is rooted in colonialism. So I think that sometimes writing about the archetypes, like, it is really useful to see like what's freaking us out, like what's making us feel like we're in pain. I mean, there's room for other things. There's room for play, like other things besides pain too. And so there's room for other things besides Western astrology. Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that experience. Yeah, I will write delineations for like the rest of the lunar nodes. I just posted Libra North Node today, so that's the last one I did. But I'm going to finish that up. I have some other series I have to finish. Sometimes with series, I feel like I'm like, oh, I want to start it, but then I don't want to finish it. I'm doing some like Venus-Mars delineations, like sun signs too. Like I wanted to do one where we're reading like Mercury with the sun. Because Mercury can only be in the co-present with the sun. We're in the two signs adjacent to it. And then I wanted to do like a series about like not being a stereotype of each sign too in that experience. Yeah, those are kind of just the series I have going on. I was going to do a Jupiter one too. And I did the fire Jupiter sign. I don't know if I'll continue that.
Well, I highly recommend for folks to check it out, because they're super insightful and practical and clearly on point, at least for the few that have related to me. And I'm like, oh man, you totally got me, Ace. There's a lot there, especially around, as you're saying, the pain, which is really interesting. And that makes me wonder then, you mentioned how it's really good at sort of like pinpointing that pain or describing the pain. Would you say that it has that same possibility for explaining like the non-pain experiences, you know? So sort of like the expansion yeah, the and the emotions. Happiness. Yeah, all the other emotions.
I think that's what you bring, but also like everyone else, like what people bring to the table in terms of practicing language, like what just keeps it alive. Because, like, a lot of the joy, it's, like, it's coming from you and your play. So then, like, you have to make space to play. I don't find that joy is inherent to Western astrology without being remixed. Like, I don't know.
What do you mean by that? Could you expand on that?
Yeah, just because, like, take an example, like, with Jupiter. It's, like, it's hard to talk about Jupiter without talking about, like, institutions, about systems for distributing knowledge. It's hard to talk about Jupiter also without talking about manifest destiny. And so it's like, hey, like, we have to talk about people's experiences within institutions, people's experiences because of ideologies, because of that. It brings up for me, that's what I find, like, kind of works during the client sessions too. And then I'm like, hey, like, you can do anything. Like, yeah, there's no kind of guidebook for it. Like, from what I've studied with Chinese astrology, I know that it's like, hey, like, there's some things that are built into this language. It's built for talking about change. It's not built for talking about, like, static events or static things. I think that language, like, the structure of the language, it does shape how we think a little bit too. And there's just something about Western astrology that's, like, it's so useful for, like, talking about pain and then doing it for that. At least for me, like, I know that it can be different for other people too.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me too, to think about, for example, Western versus Chinese astrology versus, like, Jyotish, Vedic astrology. Do you find that each has its, like, unique maybe gifts or lens or ways of relating that are different from one another?
It's hard for me to say because I really only know Western astrology and then a little bit of Chinese astrology too. But yeah, they're pretty different. They're, like, completely different systems. For example, like, sometimes called elements in Chinese astrology, sometimes they're translated as elements. Like, they're really processes. So they're ways of thinking about changing. They're never seen as static states of being. And, like, almost everything else, like, for example, yin and yang, they're talking about change because yin always changes into yang and then yang always changes into yin. I feel like there's some pretty big differences. There's also, like, paths of influence too, like the 12 signs that you attract Jupiter in Chinese astrology, that's coming from Persia. So then it's coming from the same source as the 12 signs in the Western system. There's similarities, I think, between Chinese astrology and Indian with the lunar mansions, but I don't know anything about Indian astrology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of also confusion for people who, I mean, are familiar with astrology, but mostly for those who aren't and who can kind of utilize, well, if there's all these different forms and ways of working with astrology, then how can it be true? So what would you say to someone who's, like, really trying to reconcile, well, how can we use, like, so-called astrology if there's all these different ways of relating within these different systems?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a language. Yeah. So it's just like any other language. There's many different kinds. There's different types of truths are created using different languages. And they can all coexist at once. Yeah, they might contradict each other, but the world is big and the world is round too. So then because it's a ball, or it's actually egg-shaped, I guess, but because it is round, you're going to have different ways of relating to the world based on where you are. So yeah, it's just like any other language. Like, you can create your own truths with it, but yeah, you can do whatever you want with it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious if you have words of advice for budding astrologers or those who are interested, astrology enthusiasts who are, or maybe those who have been working in astrology and with astrology for many years. Any insights or words of advice that you have for them in terms of, like, what has helped you in relating to astrology?
Yeah, for sure. I think that if you're just starting out, like, kind of getting into astrology, like, trying to use the language in a way that you want to, basically. Like, yeah, you don't have to, you know, get into really fancy technical stuff. Like, you can be a tremendous astrology and know very simple techniques, but then like be very well versed in how to use it to ask questions with a person and to start a dialogue. So like that's where you're doing a lot of the learning. I would actually try to not delineate during client sessions if you're doing those. But you can also practice astrology any way you want too. If you're like, hey, I'm a musician, I want to make astrology, like, you know, use astrology in my music, or I want to write stories, and like somehow astrology and like different timekeeping methods are within that. Like, you're an astrologer too. So you don't, yeah, there's no standard model for like how you have to practice astrology. But yeah, do what you want with the language. It's just the language. So it's not a goal of like in and of itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I think that that also makes me think about other things and like systems that I use in my life. And also seeing a lot of those as language too, which sort of almost like gives this inherent permission to like be yourself with it, you know, because I feel like so often we might learn something and then we think we have to kind of conform or shift certain ways of being or the way that we think in order to practice it or to do it. And I just appreciate you really kind of bringing in this playfulness and this reminder that it is a language and we can be ourselves in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really want to see people wreck astrology because that's what poets do with, you know, English or like whatever language. It's like they wreck it.
Love it. Well, I want everyone to get a chance to learn more about you and your work, access some of those series that you're still working on, but that are brilliant, and then also where they can find your book. So where can people connect with you and find all the things?
Oh, yeah. You can order the book wherever you get books. So contact your local bookstore. Don't go through Amazon, you know. Yeah, if you want to get it online, if you go to my website, Alice Sparkly Cat, you can just click on in the nav bar. There's like post-colonial astrology. The page will say pre-order because I just haven't changed that yet, but it'll take you to Mil Mundos where you can order the book. Like, they're the best place to order because they're also a mutual aid network. So 50% of their money goes towards mutual aid. So like definitely that's the best place to order.
Well, we can't let you go without asking our final question, which we ask everyone, and I'm really interested to hear your answer, Ace. And that's, what is currently feeding your wild? And you can take that any way you'd like, body, mind, spiritually, energetically. What's been feeding your wild lately?
I like that question. Yeah, I'm kind of like hearing it as like what's been keeping me like feeling alive. And then yesterday I just went to the beach with some friends, so that definitely kept me feeling alive or wild because it got so cold actually. Like, I was like, oh my god, it's 90 degrees and not gonna wear anything, and then it got so cold, so it definitely made me feel like, okay, like I am alive.
I love that. Yeah. And as you're saying, like, reminder of sort of these ever-changing moments that nothing is stagnant.
I know. Yeah, the temperature is not stagnant.
Well, thank you, Ace, for writing this book, for being curious and just putting all of that out there and reminding us to be playful in our relation to like astrology and life in general. So thanks for that.
No, thank you for, yeah, thanks for chatting with me for a little bit and hanging out.
Hey there, I made something for you. One of the biggest challenges that I hear from people is that they are feeling stuck when it comes to their health. You're a smart, capable, and creative change maker, right? And you know what you should be doing for your health. So what gives? Well, it's not about willpower. And I wanted to create something that would help you to unlearn the things that are keeping you stuck so that you can get out of your own way and master the mindset of health. That's why I created Wildly Unstuck, where you'll learn the top 5 things that I have found to sabotage your health goals and what to do about them. You'll learn what it really takes to become committed and unstoppable when it comes to your health goals and find the clarity you've been looking for so you know exactly what to do to get back into alignment. And I made it totally free. So if this is something that you want to dive into and create a vision and soul goals for your health and your life and bring your gifts to the world because we know that we need it, then I invite you to join us in Wildly Unstuck. You can find that at wildlyrooted.com/unstuck. I'll see you on the other side.